Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, July 12th. In a press release, the U.S. Forest Service announced that investigators are looking for two individuals who might have caused the Peak 2 fire near Breckenridge. Officials are seeking the identities of two individuals seen hiking on the Colorado Trail above the Miners Creek Road Junction at approximately 11 a.m. on July 5th. The Peak 2 fire started July 5th about 2 miles north of Breckenridge. It burned 84 acres and led to the evacuation of over 450 homes. As we reported on Monday's regional newscast, Denver has landed the highly coveted outdoor retailer trade show. For more on this story, Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KBUT in Crested Butte filed this report.
The Outdoor Retailer Show, referred to as OR, is moving to Colorado after spending 21 years in Salt Lake City, Utah. OR announced the trade show was looking for a new city for their 2019 shows, but they've decided to pull out of Utah a year earlier. OR's first appearance in Colorado will be at the Winter Show in Denver in January of 2018. The Summer Show will follow next July. To learn more about the move, I spoke with Jason Blevins, who covers recreation and issues in mountain communities for the Denver Post.
That's a big deal, but it's a bigger deal for Colorado's sort of growing outdoor recreation economy, this industry. They're hoping that it's sort of a spark for this industry to maybe lure some more businesses here, set up Colorado as the epicenter of this growing industry that has a really huge economic footprint in the United States right now.
Luring businesses is one area that Salt Lake City and neighboring Ogden, Utah excelled. They have the infrastructure, and prices were right for big companies such as Black Diamond, Rossignol, Salomon, and Backcountry.com to set up shop. But even with those businesses and infrastructure in place, along with opportunities for outdoor recreation in Utah, legislators in our neighboring state and OR's leaders don't see eye to eye on public lands and environment issues. Some Utah legislators would like to see federal public lands transferred to the state, and they want to reduce the size of monuments like Bear's Ears or Grand Staircase Escalante. And Blevins says OR's reaction was to move the show.
That definitely irritated the folks at OR. That's why they left. They left with a ugly divorce, saying that if the state would not back off these attempts to change public lands designations, they were going to find another home. They did. And they say that Colorado's embrace of public lands, its celebration of the outdoor recreation industry and economy, was a primary motivator to pick Denver and come to Denver. Sort of an alignment of values is what they're saying.
OR chose Denver over the Reno, Tahoe area, Vegas, Orlando, Minneapolis, Anaheim, and Chicago. They've committed to being in Colorado for the next 5 years, starting in January. According to the Denver Post, combined, their shows are expected to bring 85,000 people per year and $110 million in revenue. Chad Rich, KBUT News.
Like Colorado, Wyoming has seen many of its coal mines close as natural gas took over the energy market. Alternative uses for coal are being explored to see if they can give new life to the industry and keep mines open. Cooper McKim filed this report about a coal mine in the Powder River Basin that will try to remain open by adapting coal for different uses.
On a clear, sunny day, Jeff Barron drives over a copper-colored hill in the Powder River Basin near Sheridan.
And our permit, basically, from right about... So here, we're now officially on the Brook Mine.
Barron parks, hops out of his car, and walks into the edge of a large open field. Cows are grazing in the distance. He says the new operation would start right here.
It will mine out coal some 2,000 feet that way and 2,000 feet that way.
For every other coal mine in the Powder River Basin, the mine is where the business starts and ends, selling coal for electricity. Not for the proposed Brook Mine, though.
It's a changing of the guard as far as what happens in Wyoming and its coal.
Randy Atkins is sorting through a box of old coal company signs in his Sheridan office. He's the CEO and chairman of Ramaco.
Sheridan Monarch Coal, Kearney Coal,
Companies here have mined coal for decades, but recently the demand has gone down. Between 2014 and 2016, production dropped 24% in this region. Coal is losing to cheap natural gas and the growing market for renewable energy. Atkins bought the proposed Brookmine land back in 2011 with a plan to sell that coal for electricity. But the market has since been in decline. A few years ago, several companies went into bankruptcy. So he thought maybe there was a way to mine coal and sell it for something other than electricity.
So the light bulb goes off. Let's figure a way to do a coal to a product.
Much like oil can be made into things like shoes, plastic, and makeup, Atkins hopes he can find a way to do the same with coal.
Chemicals, different types of carbon fibers, graphenes, various electronic things, insulations.
When oil became the raw material, something called feedstock, for new products in the early 1900s, its value went up. Atkins is hoping new uses for coal will have the same effect. The problem is that the technology needed to make coal into a feedstock is expensive. Plus, there's little demand for this exact kind of carbon product yet. That's what Atkins wants to change. Along with the mine, the company also wants to build a research center and manufacturing facility. That kind of bundling, it's unique.
The overall concept is something that hasn't been done.
Atkins thinks success would mean transforming the demand for coal. He runs through his equation.
So if only 14% of the weight of U.S. autos, and that's body and parts, were derived from carbon fiber made from coal, that would be over 100 million tons of coal translated into making that carbon fiber.
It's important to note that Ramaco is not the first or only group to think about coal as feedstock. The University of Utah is planning a $1.6 million research facility to learn about what products could be made with coal-based carbon fiber. In Wyoming, a nonprofit is building a research complex devoted to learning about developing coal-based products. That could be up and running in just 2 years. The Japanese car company Mitsubishi is also looking to expand its coal-based carbon fiber business. Director of University of Wyoming School of Energy Resources Mark Northam says that Ramaco is actually behind the curve. The company is still in their permitting phase and a long way from breaking ground. He adds, even if coal feedstock does take off, it could never replace the amount of coal used for power generation. Energy economist Rob Godby, also at the University of Wyoming, says Ramaco's plan is far from a guaranteed success. But
what we do know is that if you don't try to make those investments or take those risks, nothing will change. Periodically, a long shot wins. And when they do, a whole bunch of people wish they'd made that bet.
If this long shot does pay off, Godby says more than just Ramaco will see the success. Coal companies across the country would likely see a boost in demand. Plus, a new kind of carbon material that isn't oil might attract entrepreneurs to set up new businesses in coal-rich states like Wyoming. But it's still in the early phase. Ramaco's Brookmine has yet to obtain its permit to mine from Wyoming's Department of Environmental Quality. That could come as soon as August. For Inside Energy, I'm Cooper McKim.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.